It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Looking back on the week that was and forward to the week ahead, it's the Fantasy Football Hustle. Waiver wire, trades, roster management. To win in fantasy football, you must remember one simple rule. Never get out hustled. It's the Fantasy Football Hustle.
All across the fantasy universe, welcome one and all to the Fantasy Football Hustle. Powered by Pro Football Focus, I'm your host, Brian Drake. You can hear me Sundays, 7 to 9 Eastern on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Drake Fantasy. Follow the show at FF Hustle. Wanted to hit you guys with my top 5 takeaways from Week 4 in fantasy football. We're going to look ahead to the waiver wire and then my Hate the Drake segment on those players who let you down in Week 4 and what we can do with them going forward. So let's start with the top 5 takeaways. Number 1. Running backs still matter. Sunday, we lost Javonte Williams for what could be the season, and Jonathan Taylor suffered a high ankle sprain. We'll see how long he's going to be out. Those losses are crippling for many of us, but hopefully we have some depth. I know the rage was to hammer wide receiver, but you still need to play running backs last time I checked in my league settings. If you found yourself drafting dead zone guys, you might actually be okay. Sunday saw 6 of the top 10 PPR runners come from those rounds where most analysts told you to stay away. Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, and Rashad Penny each put up over 25 PPR points while scoring twice. Now, those numbers won't carry over week to week. We know that. But there's still going to be weeks where they don't find the end zone or break the century mark in yardage. That's where we need to find utilization in the passing game. Of course, those three backs, only Jacobs saw more than 3 targets. Sanders and Penny are especially interesting because of how little respect they were getting during draft season. Both were labeled injury prone, and that's not really fair to a running back. They're all injuries waiting to happen. But we forget just how much their teams needed them. Sanders is dominating running back touches in Philly. The last 3 weeks, he's handled over 70% of running back touches for the Birds. Now, I get it was rainy. I know Boston Scott was out, but Miles Sanders plays for the best offense in the NFC. He's on the final year of his contract, and the team can run the wheels off him as he tries to show them or whoever else that he needs a new contract. We're seeing Sanders get into the end zone, which can be a challenge with Jalen Hurts and a bevy of other backs around him, but he's making the most of his opportunities. And as a member of the offense that leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns, he's got a shot at producing every single week. Penny's issues were deeper. Now, this team wasn't supposed to be any good, remember? They don't have a quarterback. They play super slow. And, they drafted another really talented back in Ken Walker. Well, on Sunday, Penny helped lead the Seattle offense to a league-high 141 yards rushing after contact. He's putting distance between himself and Walker, possibly because of the passing down back Travis Homer getting put on IR. In week 4, Penny played 21 more snaps than Walker and ran 7 more routes. Our pal Dwayne McFarland noted on Twitter that Penny has played 65% or more of snaps in 3 of 4 games and has over 50% route participation in back-to-back weeks. Over the past 2 weeks, Seattle has actually been top 12 in total plays run. So if this can continue, we can safely label Penny as a solid RB2. That's something I never thought I'd be saying in August. I mentioned targets a moment ago, and they matter so much to our running backs. The difference between a meh fantasy day and a weak winner can be volume in the passing game. 3 running backs saw 6 targets on Sunday. Those 3 guys were Josh Jacobs, Breece Hall, and Damian Pierce. Now, I know a few guys saw more, but I'm talking about the guys who saw 6. The rookie out of Houston, Pierce, caught all 6 for only 8 yards. But him getting passing down work is massive for his rest of season potential. Hall's showing the Jets staff that that he's head and shoulders above Michael Carter and deserves touches. And he's not only out snapping Carter, but he's taking all the goal line work. He was the only Jets running back to handle a carry inside the 10-yard line. Jacobs was someone I'll admit I was out on in the preseason. All right. But looking at his situation, he's the only game in town. The Raiders don't trust anybody else. He's getting nearly all the carries in Vegas and ran a route on 72% of Raider dropbacks on Sunday. Now, you might not see 28 carries per week, but if he can still manage 15 or so and collect 5 receptions as he's done the past 2 weeks, he's going to be an every single week starter for your fantasy teams. Moving on to point two, I'm done with Kyle Pitts. Actually, I'm done with guys on offenses that don't have a clue. Atlanta has Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson, among others, trying to run routes. They're 30th in the NFL in completions. The 49ers who had Trey Lance for a pair of games and the dumpster fire that is the Bears are worse. So as long as Arthur Smith trots out Marcus Mariota at quarterback, I have no hope for Pitts. What did he run? 12 routes on Sunday? Now, I want to get out from offenses like the Panthers, the Patriots, the Bears, Commanders, Colts, and Giants. Unless you have CMC or Barkley, you can't feel good about starting anyone from those offenses. Now, JT's injured, and the Colts offense will likely become a little more pass-friendly. Let's pray this lifts up Michael Pittman. The takeaway I want you to get from this is you want to look at your fantasy rosters and say, do I have guys on low-octane offenses? If you have more than one of them, get on the horn and make some moves this week. Do you honestly think, folks, you're going to win a fantasy title with Terry McLaurin, Darnell Mooney, or I don't even think the Giants employ a wide receiver, but you get my point. Target offenses with upside, smart OCs, and big-time quarterbacks. It's not rocket science, but all too often, we forget this key piece. Point number three I took from the weekend is the situation we saw Sunday morning with Alvin Kamara being ruled out was crazy. It sent fantasy owners scrambling, and more than likely, a lot of them just rolled over in their beds. I heard from so many of you on this topic. West Coasters, they're upset because they feel their commissioners should be able to replace Kamara with an active player, blah, blah, blah. Stop it. Listen to yourselves. This is a game where more than likely there's cash on the line. This isn't best ball. You have to show up and set a damn lineup. And if you can't, them's the breaks. You can wake up at 3 a.m. if you want, if you're playing on Yahoo on early Wednesday mornings and add players immediately once the waiver wire runs. It's only midnight on the West Coast. I don't see anybody complaining about that. Adding a player after roster lock is immoral and it's just plain wrong. You can't make up for someone's mistakes because they didn't have time to care. Accountability matters in life and it matters in fantasy football. These seasons are a grind from draft prep to waivers to following news. You have to be on top of your game. And if someone takes a vacation to Paris and forgets to set their lineup, are we going to change their roster just to convenience their schedule? Hell no. A commissioner's job is to ensure fair play for all managers. Once you open Pandora's box, it becomes a just nightmare because you're trying to manipulate lineups and swap guys. If you do that, your league is headed for serious, serious trouble. Point number four, I'm excited to see what Kenny Pickett can bring to this Steelers offense. Lord knows why it took till halftime of week four to finally pull the plug on Mitch Trubisky in that experience. What morons were out there saying Mitch Trubisky should have a job because he sat behind Josh Allen for a year? This guy is not an NFL quarterback. Kenny Pickett's a rookie, so I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but at least he gives us hope that this offense can move forward. The Steelers have a plethora of offensive weapons that we need to see get more involved. Hell, we just need the offense to look semi-functional. I don't care if Pickett threw a few interceptions, some of which weren't even his fault. Just stop trying to force the ball to Chase Claypool. He's a lost cause. But every pass that didn't get picked off, it did find a Steelers receiver. I believe that was the first time in history a guy threw 13 passes and none of them hit the ground. What I really want you to pay attention to, though, is the relationship that Pickett has with fellow rookie George Pickens. Now, Pickett looked for Pickens, and I already hate saying that. One of them needs to change their names. But anyways, Pickens was targeted on 33% of his routes on Sunday. It wouldn't shock me if Pickens becomes a top 25 fantasy option the rest of the way. His 6 for 102 on Sunday. It's just the beginning, folks. Also, I've been screaming for weeks, add Jaylen Warren. This week, he played 25% of Pittsburgh snaps. Last year, Najee Harris wouldn't come off the field. Now this explosive rookie is taking a quarter of the team's snaps. He is a must stash in my leagues. My final reaction of the week was how impressed I was with Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense. So, okay, they played the Texans, but LA is dealing with a slew of injuries, including they lost their stud left tackle. Herbert looked great besides dealing with that rib cartilage issue from a few weeks ago. They dropped Herbert back 39 times, and he found pay dirt twice. Honestly, it could have been more. And Austin Eckler, he scored his first touchdowns of the season. We all know the story. He had 18 scores a year ago, and coming into Sunday, the Chargers as a team didn't have a carry inside the five. Or maybe they had one, I'm sorry, and I believe it was Sony Michel. Eckler broke out, and he looked like the fantasy monster that we know he can be. Oh, by the way, he leads all backs in receptions with 27. No one else even has 20. So I hope you bought low during his slow start. I'd be trying to acquire Keenan Allen on the cheap this week too. His owners might be a little frustrated because they haven't gotten anything out of him for 2 weeks. You know, the Chargers were dominating their target, had their target share dominated by three guys. Eckler, Mike Williams, who had 11 targets, and Gerald Everett, who saw six. Now the Chargers, they don't run the football. All right, and they still won the game. They averaged 3 yards per carry versus Houston, and they didn't top 100 yards. They had 81 yards in the game, in the game they controlled. So there are going to be points to be scored through the air with LA. And in the coming weeks, they play the Browns, Broncos, Seahawks, and Falcons. Giddy up. Get your trade offers in for your Chargers. On the waiver wire this week, I'm looking to add the following players: Mike Boone and Melvin Gordon from the Broncos. Both are going to play. And I'd expect Gordon to take maybe 60% of the work out of the gate. But Boone is no slouch. He saw three targets on Sunday, and he will be a very flex-worthy option going forward. Nyheim Hines shouldn't be available in any of your leagues, but I've seen that he's only owned in 62% of Yahoo leagues. He should be the top pickup where available as he takes over an Indy backfield for Jonathan Taylor, who could be out a few weeks with his high ankle sprain. George Pickens, someone we just mentioned a moment ago, seeing 30% of a team's targets instantly gives me waiver wire wood. I'm going to trademark that. I want Pickens on all my teams. How about Zay Jones? Someone who really shouldn't be on your waiver wire. Now, he missed week four with an ankle injury, but prior to that, he led the Jags in target share. His position was filled this past week by Jamal Agnew, and he scored 2 touchdowns. Those were Jones's touchdowns. Go out and pick up Zay Jones. He's going to be a great bye-week fill-in for your fantasy rosters. Finally on the wire, Josh Reynolds continues to impress. And with this feature role he's got for the Lions, he was wide receiver 7 after Sunday's games, thanks to a 7 for 81 and 1 touchdown outing. Now he's got 18 targets over the past 2 weeks. We're not sure if Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to play next week. What's the issue here, folks? Add him, play him. Let's go. Now, America's favorite segment of the week, Hate the Drake, where I tell you about players who let you down, maybe give you a little insight on what we're going to do with them going forward. Well, it wouldn't be a Hate the Drake list if we weren't starting it with Kyle Pitts. Atlanta head coach Arthur Smith said he's not playing fantasy football. He's not trying to win games. Yeah, no kidding. Today, or yesterday, I should say, the Falcons actually won the game, and he kept his word about not caring about fantasy. Kyle Pitts was invisible. 4 targets, 1 catch for 25 yards. Are you kidding me? Pitts has 1 game over 4 PPR points. This isn't a fluke anymore. His targets fluctuate more than the weather. Now, Mariota only dropped back to pass 20 times and threw for $139. He's barely an NFL quarterback, and this offense is just brutal overall. You know, I'm out of the Pitts business. I'm fine selling him. We've seen a month of this garbage offense. Now, how insane are we if we put up with this for another month, waiting for the one unicorn week that Kyle Pitts hits? See you later. So JT, I don't like putting injured guys on the Hate the Drake list, but when you draft a guy at 101 overall, it's okay to show up 1 week, but this is becoming too much of a trend. Taylor toted the rock 20 times, but managed only 2.1 yards per carry en route to 42 yards for you math majors. That's pathetic. You know, on the other side, the Titans, who have just as bad of an O-line, figured out how to get Derrick Henry rolling. So what's going on in Indy? Taylor hasn't bested 75 yards rushing since week one, and he scored a combined 22 PPR points the last 3 weeks. Now, I can't say things are going to improve. This team stinks, and now he's hurt with the ankle issue. But they were four-point favorites at home and lost to the Titans. So I have a lot of feelings that you JT owners out there, you're going to be fielding trade offers for Jonathan Taylor this week. It might not be the worst idea to see what you can get. Mark Andrews. Here's a guy we never see on the Hate the Drake list. The tight end won on the season entering Sunday. Andrews was bottled up by the Bills in a wild game. And it just wasn't a great day for the Ravens offense. The rain slowed Lamar as he only threw for 144 yards. And Andrews, his usual top target, saw only five, which was second most on the team, but he only corralled two of them for 15 yards. You never expect duds like this from Andrews, but we can forgive him based on the monster weeks he gives us. Sunday, though, was tough. He let us down in a big way. Next up, James Robinson. Hands down the leader in the clubhouse for comeback player of the year. Robinson's been crushing it for the Jags for fantasy. Today, Sunday, you can tell I wrote this on Sunday, folks, but you know, work with me here. Sunday, the Eagles overcame a 14-0 deficit as the Jags only gave Robinson one touch in the second half. It was a driving rainstorm. We saw Travis Etienne split carries evenly with Robinson. They had eight apiece. That's something to watch as J-Rob owners, because obviously Etienne has much more juice. 2.9 PPR points, that ain't helping anyone. Robinson will look to bounce back next week as the Jags host the lowly Texans. Gabe Davis. Now, we know Davis had an ankle sprain, but today, Sunday, I should proofread that before I write it, folks. But hey, we got to get content out. Some of us have day jobs. He faced a Ravens secondary, allowing the most passing yards entering the week. Davis lived off touchdowns and big plays. At Sunday's game just wasn't set up for that. Davis caught one ball for 13 yards. If you listen to the SiriusXM show, Dr. Jesse Morse came out and said he wouldn't play Gabe Davis because he was not healthy enough after the ankle sprain, and he probably should have taken another week off. This is the second week in a row, though, he's done nothing for your lineup. Four Bills saw five or more targets on Sunday. Davis wasn't one of them. I think he'll be a prime buy low candidate, though. Diontae Johnson. QB switch came Sunday in Pittsburgh as Kenny Pickett replaced the truly awful Mitch Trubisky. Johnson's super talented, but Sunday managed only four PPR points with two catches for 11 and a pair of rushes. Pickett should provide a massive upgrade for this offense, as we talked about earlier. And despite the picks you see in the box score, you know, things are going to improve for this Steeler offense. George Pickens, though, did see 31% of the target share. He could be Pickett's guy. That's the guy we're going on the waiver wire to get. Remember that. And finally, Drake London. Off to a great start. The rookie was doomed by his terrible QB and the play caller. Now, it's hard to score every week, and that's kind of what London's living off here. It can be difficult for him to get there if he doesn't get in the end zone. This is such a low-octane offense. It's a fantasy nightmare. Seven targets is encouraging, but we need Drake to haul in more than two. His 3.7 PPR points, you know, is the kind of the low watermark for his young career. He's talented, though, and if someone's looking to give him away, I'd be more than happy to be buying. So we hope you enjoyed the short abbreviated hustle. I'm going to be back later in the week with Matt Waldman and Drew Davenport. And remember, go over to Top Prop Fantasy if you want to play some head-to-head prop games. Use my code Drake, and I'm going to give you up to a $50 initial deposit bonus. I'm on a heater over there, folks. I'm giving out props for the Thursday game and the Monday game. I'm 12-2 on the season. It's free money. Go download the Top Prop app today. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope your team's off to a good start. If not, hit me up on Twitter at Drake Fantasy. We'll work through some trades. We'll see if we can get your roster going in the right direction. Remember to never get out of it. See you.
This has been the Fantasy Football Hustle. We're back next week with all you need for waiver wire, trades, roster management, and more. Until then, never get out hustled.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.